We're going to combine a couple of things in the next few moments. I'm going to speak about the book of Ezekiel, looking at the theme of the heart in Ezekiel. You may recall that over the last 100 years or so, I've been preaching through a series of sermons on the heart in different books of the Bible. We've got as far as as far as Ezekiel. Ephesians is suffering a lot, isn't it? I called it Philippians a couple of weeks ago, and Keith called it Acts, and now I'm calling Ezekiel Ephesians. So we'll see what happens next. I'm going to skip through my slides on Ezekiel and focus on one or two at the end, and then I'm going to come through to talking about our streets and being neighbours and reaching neighbours on our streets. So the Bible bookcase, that just reminds us of the structure of our Bible, for those of you who may have forgotten. First five books, the books of Moses, and then there's some books of history, and then there's five books of poetry: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then we've got what's called the major prophets, in which Ezekiel comes, number four. Then we've got the minor prophets, a dozen of good men and true. Then we come to the New Testament, which has the Gospels, and then the Epistles, and then finally the book of Revelation. Now, is this going to work? Evidently not. Do I have to point it? No. Is the battery in? Yes. Is it working? We don't have Keith Tredgett here today to rescue us, so I might have to ask Jenny to move the slides forward. That'll be frequent. So the books of law, moving quickly forward. Move quickly forward, please. Move forward from the books of history, from the books of poets, and the prophetic books. You'll have to open it up as I speak. Can you put all the words on it? This is rather... losing all the time that I wanted to gain, which is a shame. Can you put the text on? Oh, it's stuck. Not going forward. Technology. Ah. This is a problem that the early church didn't have. I think they had their own problems, which are probably worse than ours. Well, I'll start talking about Ezekiel in the meantime. He was a priest. He was from an aristocratic background. His name means "whom God strengthens," Ezekiel. He was exiled to Babylon at the age of 25. And from there he prophesied about Jerusalem, and he warned that there was a coming destruction. The book of Ezekiel is quite long, about 48 chapters, and one of the major themes is the glory of the Lord. And he shows that the glory of the Lord was present in God's temple, but gradually departed from God's temple because God's people were neglecting him and were worshipping idols instead. Another great theme in the book of Ezekiel is, "You will know that I am the Lord." That came in the passage that we read this morning. You will know that I am the Lord. One of God's great concerns is that people will know who he is. And he uses his prophets to tell us who he is and to pass on the message about who he is. In the middle part of the book of Ezekiel, there's another phrase that says, "They will know that I am the Lord." So God was concerned that neighbouring nations would also know that he was the Lord. And then finally, in the third part of the book, all nations will know that I am the Lord. So the time is coming when all the nations will be honouring Jesus as Lord. And we're praying for that time to come. And we're witnessing in the meantime so that as many people as possible hear the good news. So... the technology is moving around, that's good. We have Susan to the rescue. Well, actually, perhaps I'll start talking about the neighbourhood book. But actually, that requires a different PowerPoint. But see what you can find with this one. So we can have the slides one at a time with all the text on. Would that be it? Rather than the text arriving one line at a time.
No, it's not. No, you can't. Once you've got the slide on, you can't do the clicks for the animation, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I don't know why that is, but it just is. It's one of those computer things that...
sometimes happens. Okay, Ezekiel the man. I've talked about that, so next slide. Ezekiel the book. God wants to use your story for his glory. So that's what we were talking about, the glory of the Lord. The next slide. You will know that I am the Lord. You will know, the neighboring nations will know, all nations will know. Next slide. There's a vision in chapter 1 of Jesus on the throne. And he's a man, and there's burning lamps of fire, and there's lots of living creatures, and the man gives the roll of a book to the prophet to eat and then speak. And that's the reading we had this morning. It's interesting that the book of Revelation has a very similar vision of Jesus, the last book in the Bible, showing how he fulfills something that was shown to the Old Testament prophets. Next slide, Jesus in Ezekiel. There's a picture of the Good Shepherd rescuing a lamb. Jesus appears in the book of Ezekiel several times. He's referred to, first of all, he's the man on the throne. Secondly, there's a talking about a Good Shepherd in chapter 34, who we know is Jesus. And then it talks about a new covenant of peace, which is brought by Jesus. And it talks about a coming prince, who is the Lord Jesus. Now, moving on. Hearts in Ezekiel. Moving on. There's an old heart. This old heart of mine. In the book of Ezekiel and also in the book of Jeremiah, there's lots of talking about the heart. And bad things are said about the heart, and good things are said about the heart as well. And the old heart, which we have before Jesus transforms us, is often weak and sick. Move forward, please. It can be unhealthy. Next one. Misdirected. And next one. Proud. We hear a lot about pride these days, don't we? God is not in favor of pride. It's the humble who he loves. Next one. Damaged hearts. And the next one. Ezekiel's heart. I want to say two things about Ezekiel's heart. Number one, it was a breaking heart. Because in Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 6, let me just get my Bible. Ezekiel 21 verse 6. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight. So why was Ezekiel asked to groan? Well, because God's heart was breaking because of the turning away of God's people. And God allows some to have the privilege of grieving in the same way that he does, because of the state of the nation. A second thing about Ezekiel's heart we find in chapter 3, verse 10, which says, "Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you, and listen closely. Take into my heart all your words, all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely." That's God's invitation to us, to take to heart everything he's said. God works in hearts. Can we have the next slide? God is always within. Feel God working in your heart, through your heart, and as your heart. I want to talk about the heart of God. Can you move on? The new heart and the next one, the heart of God. I want to show you four verses in the book of Ezekiel about the heart of God. And the first one is in chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they have been carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols." Isn't that an interesting thought? God can be hurt when his people turn away from him. I looked up this word hurt in the Hebrew, and it means to break into pieces. God has made himself so vulnerable, his heart can be broken into pieces. But I also found that this same word is used in other parts, in other places in the Bible. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted." And then Isaiah 61, verse 1, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." So God knows all about broken hearts. His heart is broken by things that go on in the world. He allows some of his people to share that broken heart as we look out on the world, in order that we would pray, in order that we would take seriously what's going on. And it reminds me also what Jesus died of. Jesus died of a broken heart. You may be aware of this. People who are crucified usually die of asphyxia. They lose the ability to take breaths any longer. But Jesus didn't die of crucifixion. He suffered crucifixion. The nails in his wrists and ankles, and that all that agonizing pain that he was going through. But he died of a broken heart, because his heart ruptured, which is what happens when people suffer enormous grief. Occasionally, actually, literally can die of a broken heart. Heart can actually rupture. And the proof of this was that when the centurion inserted a spear into the side of Jesus, up into his heart, out came blood and water. Out came red blood cells and colourless fluid from blood that had been in the ruptured heart, inside the sac of the heart, and had separated into the red blood cells and the serum. So Jesus died for us, of a broken heart. And we have this in the Old Testament. God the Father talks about his heart being broken when his people turn away from him. So God can be hurt. That's the first thing that we find in the book of Ezekiel. God, the great and glorious, managing things, but he suffers pain. We suffer pain when we see what's going on in the world, but God does as well. And he wants us to be involved. Secondly, God desires our good. Ezekiel 18, verse 32. An insight into the heart of God. It says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live. I have no pleasure. What does God have pleasure in? Well, there's a wonderful verse in Psalm 149, verse 4, that says, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Isn't that amazing? We have the opportunity to bring heartbreak to God, and we also have the opportunity to bring pleasure to God. God takes pleasure in his people. How do we do that? By delighting in him, loving him, listening to him, spending time. The third verse in Ezekiel about the heart of God, chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So God is giving us his own spirit. Isn't that amazing? Puts his own spirit within us, his own Holy Spirit. In Galatians 4 it says, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So one of the evidences that he's put his spirit in our hearts is that we recognize him as our Father. We relate to him as our Father. And that's that wonderful reminder of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father has sent forth the spirit of his Son into our hearts, making us cry, Abba, Father. So God offers us himself, offers us his own spirit. We may see people who are animated by a spirit that we appreciate, and we think, I'd like some of that spirit. Well, the most perfect and wonderful spirit of all comes within us. And the fourth clue about God's heart is found in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. And this is an invitation to some of us. I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So we may be aware of things that are not right in our nation. As a nation, we've turned away from many of the things that God has given us and said to us. Turned our backs on him. God is looking for men and women who will stand in the gap, who will pray, who will represent our nation before him. I and several others in this church do pray regularly for our nation. I'm sure all of us do, on and off. That God is looking for people who are willing to take that position. I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. There's another passage where it says that because God didn't find anyone, he took action himself, which is very fortunate for us. So, a didn't know where I was going to go today with Ezekiel, and the fact that I can't use the slides as I intended means that I've just had to focus on one particular thing. So I just want us to focus on the heart of God. We do live in serious times. My talk is very serious today because we're aware of dreadful things going on in the world. We're aware of ungodly things taking part in our nation. And we wonder what we can do. Well, identify with the heart of God is one big answer to that. Spend time listening and spend time praying with others or alone about what's going on. But it's not a negative thing. God's inviting us to share his heart. He's inviting us to feel things the way he does. And that is that's glorious. Such a big task. How can we possibly do it? Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So I'm going to talk about this little book, Neighbor, Transform Your Street. How many of us live in a street? Even if it's not called a street. Yeah, we all live in a street, don't we? How many of us have neighbours? How many of us pray for our neighbours? I put my hand half up because I don't think I pray for them as often as I could or as I should. So let's encourage one another to pray for our neighbours, to get involved. Now, Christine's got something. Once a man was asked, "What did you gain by regularly praying to God?" The man replied, "Nothing. But let me tell you what I lost. Anger, ego, greed, depression, insecurity, and fear of death." Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not gaining, but losing, which ultimately is the gain. I'd like to make this a little bit interactive, and I've got about 15 copies of this. I want to give them out to you, and I want to highlight certain pages in this book which will be helpful for us to get involved in praying for our neighbours or doing things for our neighbours. I'm so sorry about the PowerPoint, because I wanted to rehearse what I showed 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was a PowerPoint about reaching out to our neighbours. But God knows what we need, and God is speaking to some of us. I'll give you a blessing with each book. Actually, Simon, do you want to distribute?
Yeah.
One to each family or couple. Or you've got the option whether to keep the book or to hand it back at the end. Any family? Ruth got one. As you can see, it's quite a heavy book. Can I take one back? Ah, if I'm praying for neighbours. Okay. Can you skim through very... My thing won't work, will it? So next slide. Next slide. Neighbourhoodprayer.net. Next slide. Adopt a street. Next slide. A house near you. Next slide. Our own street. 30 John Herring Crescent, where we are. That's our back garden. That's our house. And we have prayed for all our neighbours, and every so often we invite them to our house for hot cross buns or mince pies, depending on the time of year. Next slide. And we can pray blessing as we walk. Next slide. Pray the way that God made us. Different ways that we all pray. Next slide. And don't forget the street pastors. We value your prayers as we walk certain streets. And the next one. And we can prayer walk. I think that's the last one to show from that. So if you open your book, there's something called a neighbourhood prayer network, page 22. So if you wanted to learn about how it can be done, there's a vision to see every street in the United Kingdom covered in Christian prayer. We hope that Christians across the UK will take responsibility for praying for their own street and neighbours. And I've forgotten the numbers, but something like 3,000 or 4,000 streets are covered in prayer, which those of you who have a better memory than me can remember what proportion of the total number of streets in Britain that is. Just 10% or something, I've forgotten what it was, but quite a significant proportion of our streets have people who've committed to pray for them and have connected with each other. You can start a neighbourhood prayer, page 42. A how-to guide. Starting neighbourhood prayer in your street. That's a sort of starting point. You can do it as an individual, or do it as a couple, or do it with some other neighbours in your street. Or a group of churches can work together in a postcode. On page 56, there's something called Adopt a Street. Talking about adopting a street in Southend. And on page 56, there's something about praying blessing. You turn to page 56. Is that the same page? Praying blessing. So that talks about praying blessing on your street. Starting a house of prayer, page 58. And this talks about Faldy Brennan, page 58, that some people have visited, a house in Wales that started very small, with just two people praying for their neighbours, and great things have been happening there. Faldy Brennan. So that's that your house can become a house of prayer. Neighbourhood prayer triplets, page 98. Page 98. Some of the ladies in this church are already part of a prayer triplet. So that's praying with two other people, page 98. Let's see, there's a neighbourhood prayer diary on page 153, so go to 153, pages not very easy to see, are they, at the bottom, but there's ideas there, page 153, but a neighbourhood prayer diary, and it gives particular lists of people that you could pray for on different days. And on page 179, talks about something familiar to us, which is the street pastors. And a picture of Reverend Les Isaacs, who started off the street pastors. So that's a reminder to pray for our street pastors. Anything else? The interesting thing on page 189 called the power of saying thank you. Page 188, the power of saying thank you, which is a little testimony, the power of saying thank you, and thanking our local police for what they do. It was interesting. some sad information about human trafficking on page 189 next to it. So if you have a burden for human trafficking, then there's a page about that, 189, and so on. So, it's all a bit disjointed today, but what I'd like us to do is to encourage one another from time to time as to how we're getting on with praying for our streets and praying for our neighbours. Christine, you have something to say.
When I started reading this book, I first felt, oh, this and this and this, I need to do this and this, but no, no. It's just ideas. You have a specific gifting, a specific calling, so it's just do what you know the Lord tells you to do. These are things, when I read it in this way, I felt so encouraged. I said, all this exists and is practiced and done by some people. It's wonderful. Your kingdom is advancing little bit by little bit. But all these together makes a big thing. So it's not one person taking all it on board and crawling under the duty, but it's you finding your specific little piece. It may be just praying for one neighbor. And that's it. And that's what God requires of you. It may be inviting somebody for tea. And that's all it requires. Or smiling to people when you walk in the street and saying hello. That could be your calling. Don't look down on little things. We value and God values all these. It's being the fragrance of Jesus where we are. So let's be... I rejoice of this book because it tells me all what is happening and you can add your little bit to it. I add my little bit with adopting my street, smiling to people in the street and things like this. So yeah, thank you.
And if you turn to page 24 and 25, you see a double spread that's got some pictures of houses. Page 24 and 25. And that's the beginning of a section which says that on our street there may be a house of captivity or grief or fear or a house of loneliness or rejection. And we have the opportunity to become a house of hope or love or hospitality or faith or healing. So just sowing a few seeds of ideas. So I think over the next few weeks... it will be lovely if we just share from time to time how we're doing. I'll try and bring it to your remembrance from time to time. I know some of us are already active in our streets. I don't mean just me and Christine. And some have really got a vision for it. But this just gives you some ideas. So is there any response, any feedback, any ideas, any resonance that people have got there? We're desperately trying not to load you with loads of work, but just to give you some ideas, really.
Well, people involved with street pastors or groups like this, they're already involved for God's kingdom. So you don't need to add another thing on your pile already. It's just recognizing, yes, I'm the little drop that constitutes the whole ocean of God's work and taking this place. Thank you.